I'd like to try on this week's parasha to share with you let's just shtickle tire and a chidish shtickle tire. Let's see which one you like better. Parasha Levit makes a deal in this week's parasha, which seems to be a stira to Aran in the Dara, and I don't know a good teretz, so let me pose a question to you. We know that when Parai was looking for an answer as far as what to do with Klal Yisrael, he called his three advisors in, and Chazal teach us that they were Yisrael, Eiv, and Bilam. And he asked advice and suggested to kill Jewish children. So Chazal say that the Bilam who agreed was killed. Yisrael, who disagreed and ran away, was rewarded. And Eiv, who straddled the fence, who didn't say anything, so he was neither killed nor rewarded, but he was punished with the Yisurim that Eiv had. Chaim Shmulevitz makes a deal from here that if, God forbid, one has a choice between death or Chaya Yisurim, a person has a choice between living with great pain or dying, which is preferable. So Chaim Shmulevitz says that the Torah considers living with tzar better than death. Why? Because who did worse, Bilam or Eiv? Bilam, who was worse, was punished with Nisa. Eiv, who didn't do things as, who was not as bad, was punished with Yisurim, but with real Yisurim. Yisurim Shal Eiv, which are considered to be terrible Yisurim. So the, so to write from here, what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz calls the Isher HaChaim. The fact that Chaim is such a virtue, the minute of Chaim, a person can be Zechut HaElam Abba. So that's such a virtue that it takes the even Chaim being with Yisurim is better than Nisa. This is what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says. Well, it's a correct deal, and it's difficult to argue. On the other hand, there's a Gemara Ksubis on Daf Kuf Dalet on the base, which tells us the story of the death of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, of Levi. And Gemara tells us that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, at the end of his life, suffered from some type of a severe illness. It seems to have been a stomach illness or a bowel illness, and that he was in great pain. And he was dying. His Talmudim were misfiled. They got together in the base medrash, and they were saying to him that he should survive. And so the Rebbe had a wise shipka who understood that Rabbeinu HaKadosh B'derech HaTeva would have died from this illness, and that it was the Tehillim of the Talmudim that was keeping him alive. But she observed the tzar that Rebbe was in. And when she observed the tzar, she felt that he'd be better off dead than alive with Yisurim. So she went up to the roof of the Beis Medrash and took, it sounds from the Gemara like she took a set of china. And so she took the klicheret, the nice klicheret of Rebbe's house, and she threw them off the roof right by the window of the Beis Medrash. Took a picture of a full Beis Medrash, and suddenly there's a crash right outside the window. So naturally, everybody stopped to look to see what was doing. And when they stopped to look, so they stopped saying Tehillim, and Rebbe died. This is what the Gemara says. The Ran in the Darim, Daf Mem, says that she was right. That the halacha is, like Amsa the Rebbe, that if one has a choice between living Chayei Tzar and dying, that death is preferable. And although you're not allowed to kill somebody who's in a situation of such as that, but you're allowed to daven that he should die, the Ran says. A person can daven he should die, because death is preferable to Chayei Tzar. Now this Amsa the Rebbe nice is brought down by all of the tshuvas. Whenever you find a tshuva that talks about euthanasia or withholding treatment from people who are in pain, withholding that, and we try to treat alleviate the pain, to manage the pain. But as far as healing the person, this is what every tshuva talks about. Or Moshe's tshuva, all the tshuvas that talk about this is what they stand for. with this hadacha that the din is makam to the Rebbe. The Gemara Sanhedrin that says that Rav Huna was dying, and Rav Papa said to Yisrael Zabisa, Rav Papa said, prepare his shrouds, get ready for the Levaya. And then Rav Huna recovered. So Rav Papa was very embarrassed to meet Rav Huna. It's quite embarrassing when you arrange a person's Levaya and then he recovered. So the Tziv writes that, you know, it says in the Mishnah, in the Brisa, in the Sefer Seferim, that you don't prepare a person's Levaya when he's alive. You don't do that. It's, you know, it's a pet. Not a proper thing to do. How could Rav Huna have done this? How could your Papa have done this? So the Tziv answer is because he saw that Rav Huna was in tzar. And he figured, let me be just a pelasat. Let him better die than to live this way with tzar. So again, it's a raya that that the Mitzvah is on the because like the raya, and they're done. It's a stira to our chazal, this week's passion. They had a parent, I don't know. It turns on a stira. Seems to be a stira, which...
They couldn't
come. So maybe you can answer, maybe you can answer, like, he was taka sick, he had the possibility to recover, he recovered at the end. Hashem came, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who was terminally ill. There's no possibility of recovering. Since he's terminally ill, so it's better to die than to live. But that doesn't seem smarter. It doesn't fit with your attention letter to say. The attention letter to saying that life with tzar, the mighty could do a mitzvah. So life with tzar is better than dying. If that's the chesh, then it has nothing to do with recovery. Maybe it's a kasha of Chayim Shmuel. If that's some chazal, you could answer. So where Chayim Shmuel explains it, the Chayim Tzar is better because you're far as you can do a mitzvah. So that, where Chayim Shmuel explains it, it seems to be a stira. It's a chazal.
And the
answer is, Chayim Shmuel says, it's a chazal. Well, you can have a bigger level than a Beit HaKadosh. So the Beit HaKadosh wasn't on a level. Alright, so this is one thought on the parasha. Let me share with you a second thought on the parasha, which I saw recently in the Malachi, and the more I think about it, the more I appreciate the part. I hope it'll be made the same by you as much as by me. We find in the parasha that Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, if the Rebbeinu Shalom on him, what's Chayis? Chayis saw that about Mitzrayim. And Rebbeinu Shalom answers him by Tiach Esa'ami Mitzrayim, Tatum Esa'akim Al-Ahar Azeh. That they're going to go out and discard that they will accept the Torah, Chayis saw them in the Kabbalah of the Torah. For that alone, they're worthy of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The problem is that we have Yitzayim that the Rebbeinu Shalom judges people by Asher Usham. Kadosh Baruch Hu judges a person by Asher Usham, the way he is. And what kind of the business is this? You've got to be trying to scar that you will be Makabal the Torah. You don't get scar for something you didn't do. So what kind of, if we have it said, Rebbeinu Shalom judges by Asher Usham. So, in this week's parasha, Parashat Vayechi, Yosef brings Menashe and Ephraim to Yaakov for a bracha. So the pasuk says, "Vayar Yisrael as b'nei Yosef, vayomer mi'erva." Now Yaakov Avinu saw that b'nei Yosef, he said mi'erva. Rashi says he didn't know mi'erva. He met his enikos before. He says, "Nistalik mi'erva Hashchina." That when Menashe and Ephraim came in, the Shchina left because the Rava, Menachav, and Yehu Banav who are going to be descendants of Menashe and Ephraim. And since there was such a tumor in their descendants, so when Menashe and Ephraim walked in, he started with Menashe and Ephraim. He said, Mi'erva, what's going on with these people? So again, the kasha is, I don't understand, Menashe and Ephraim, what's the reason? So they walk in. So because they're going to have descendants that are Rishayim, the Shemesh of Ephraim, they were tzaddikim by Tzaddikim. So then we have to be the spouse, so the Shechina came back to Yaakov. But see, that's not the way, the translation doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. But of course, in the future, they're going to have to send us that Avishai. A third place, when Yaakov did the bracha, Ephraim and Menashe, he puts Ephraim before Menashe. Why? Tamhu yelagai. Ula machav hakata yigal mimem. That he says that Ephraim is going to be greater. Where's Ephraim greater than Menashe? Greater than Menashe. So Rashi says, no, but he's going to have an edible Yeshua. Yeshua is going to do great things. So Menela, Ephraim is greater than Menashe. Same Tasha. It works that way. Tasha Husham. If Ephraim was greater than Menashe, so let Rashi say that Ephraim was greater than Menashe. And if Ephraim wasn't greater than Menashe, then what's the difference if he has an edible? Why should he have Kedima? Why is Zika or Siyata? Why should Ephraim get a bigger bracha than Menashe? Because he'll have an edible. So Rebbe Hashem doesn't work that way. The Arukas HaBaisem, he answers these three kashas based on his side that he brings from the Mishnah Melech. And the way he explains it, it's a very beautiful Havana. The Mishnah Melech says that to Rabbi Yishalayim judges a person by Asher Rusham, not based on the future, Merah. Saying a person in the future is going to do bad, Hashem judges a person the way he is now. Mitzayv, really, by all right, should be the same thing. A person is judged by what he is, not by what he will be. Yaakov Avinu is the style that his children should be zeicher to a bracha mitayv even before it happens. We should have a schar, a future tayv, even before it happens. When Ephraim and Menashe came in, it was Yaakov Avinu's intention to give this bracha. To give a bracha based on, the bracha was not just Ephraim and Menashe, the Chai Yavarech Yisrael, the Simcha Lekin to Ephraim and Menashe, was a much deeper bracha than just a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. The depth of the bracha was that just like Ephraim had a Kedima, because he was going to have Eniklach that are going to be great, he's going to have Yeshua's great, even though Bashar Risham, he didn't have that Madrager. Nevertheless, he gets the bracha now. So Yaakov Avinu's Kavanah was to give a bracha that it should be based on the future. So Menela, when Ephraim and Asher came in, the Stalin and Menela Ashkena. If you're giving a bracha based on the future, Ravam and Achav and Yehiru Barav are going to be descendants of Ephraim and Menashe. So why are you giving a bracha? Without being an Hashem. And for that, it required tefillah. The tefillah of Yaakov and Yosef was that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should give such a start to Klal Yisrael. That although, when it comes to Ram, Hashem judges a person by Asher Rusham, even Yishmael is judged by Asher Rusham. But when it's a Dabar Tov, that Klal Yisrael should be zeicha to something based on a future schar, that Klal Yisrael should be able to have zchusim. And that's the bracha of the day. Simcha Lekim Kefayim Menashe is a bracha. That Klal Yisrael should have zchusim, that even what they have in potential to do, what they're not actually doing, Hashem should see, Kiyinu, not only them, but even at Eniklach, that they should already have zchusim because of that. But Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim. They, Yom Tov only split in the first that they're going to be the Kabbalah time. The Maker says, Ra'ay wa'isi. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I see the future. So the Maker says, I see in the future there'll be the Kabbalah time. In the future they're going to be deemed the Egel also. So what kind of person is this? They'll be the Kabbalah time. On the other hand, they're going to serve the Egel, so that's not a net benefit. So right where you see, Hashem says, I see what I want to see. The fact that they're the Kabbalah Torah, I see. And for that, I give them chusim. The fact that they're going to be over the Egel, that I don't see. They didn't do it yet. Hashem Hashem, they deserve that. It's right, because I don't look at what happened with the Egel. That's the Mishnah Melech. Makar, this Megish is the Makar for the Mishnah Melech, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the future, whatever is good, Hashem gives this right now, just the potential.
Whatever is not good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold the potential of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold against the person. And this bracha that Chayis went out of Mitzrayim with, the car was in the bracha of Yisim Tzolokim Kefarim Nashi. That was Yaakov Avinu's bracha. To Chayis fell in Gaius. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look at the potential of Tzayim and not look at the potential of that. You all know that when Chayis came to the Yamsuf, he didn't want to split. So we read in the Beis Yisrael Mitzrayim, the pasuk says that it's split. Melifnei Adai Chuli Aretz, Melifnei Eloika Yaakov. That it's split. Chuli Aretz, the earth trembled. Melifnei Eloika Yaakov, the God of Yaakov. What's Melifnei Eloika Yaakov? Even going out of Mitzrayim, there was more Eloika Yaakov than Eloika Avraham Yitzchak. But according to this, it's very good. Because the whole skhus of the splitting of the Yom Suf was the scar of Yaakov Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu was the spiral that Klal Yisrael should have such a kayas that a potential l'tayz should be seen, and a potential chalul l'ra, the Rebbeinu Shalom should not take into account. With this you could probably answer, there's a piece in the Mishnah of Eliyahu, who asks, we know Chazal say that HaTzadikim Muatim Mefikach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'shachman B'chol Gavadah. Ben Shalom saw that there wouldn't be that many Tzadikim in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that every generation should have some. Make sure every generation should have some Tzadikim. And the Mishnah of Eliyahu asked that that's a contradiction to the rule of Bechira. That no one's born a Tzadik. No one's created a Tzadik. But if you have this Midah, that's really what the Mishnah of Eliyahu answers. If you have this Midah, that's what Tzayit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is mishtanish with his idea of the future, then it's answered. And it's answered that that's something that could be used. Now this bracha of Yaakov Avinu is a bracha that first I have to think about, have a Havana, that a potential of Tzayit is something that we look at, is something that we see. The Simcha Lakim Tekraimach of Anash is a bracha that a potential l'tayi the person should take a look at, and a potential l'ra is something which we ignore until Chas v'Shalom the ra comes l'maisa. Yaakov Kavaretsky once, he was a son of Avram, his wife was pregnant, and they stayed in the bungalow colony with us. His wife was pregnant, Yaakov was there. There was a meeting of the Vayetzes. So they were, I don't know who was there at that meeting in particular, Moshe of Yaakov of Ritterman, and they had it by Avram's house. Because Yaakov was at a mercy, and they had it here in Zuchas. So when they left, Avram's wife was there. She, I don't know, she was, maybe she came to too, but she was, she was helping out in her house, and she was expecting. But Yaakov said, no, she has to walk out first. They all came to the door, she has to walk out first. So she was very embarrassed. So Yaakov said, who knows? The child you're carrying could be Mashiach. Who knows who the child is? So you go out first. So, when my wife was expecting, I think it is Reb Avram, who, that's when his wife told us this embarrassing moment in her life. So then my wife was expecting, who knows? She's carrying Mashiach. No problem, I'm a lady, so I don't know if Mashiach is supposed to be from David, but Yaakov didn't mean Dafka Mashiach. We know that when a child is born, every child, every Yiddish child that's born, give him brachas, that he should be, should have faith to be a Gadol Yisrael. Even though, like, what are the odds? But it's a Nida that a Yid has to have to see the Kaifas HaTzayi, the Kaifas HaNefesh HaTzayi in a person. See in every person. Every person has tremendous kaychais, which the person himself ignores. Every person has potential, which if a person could see his own potential, he'd be fascinated by things that a person could do. As Moshe once said, during Sneezes, he spoke after Shachas, and he said, it says in Sneezes, we said, Al Kashlo Seinu Vanecho, and don't throw us out from in front of you. The Ruach Kachacha and your Ruach HaKadosh don't take away from us. Is that possible in Tanakh? Pasuk in Tanakh says, "Atashlicheni mofanecha." Mashmiyachu David is talking. So Rashi said that it bothered him. One thing that David HaMelech should say, "Ruach Kodesh Atikach Mineni." David had Ruach HaKodesh. He said, "Ruach Kodesh Atikach Mineni." Don't take away my Ruach HaKodesh. So here we go. The whole people of the Shmack Lelaina, we take Sukkim that are Russian Yachid, we change it to Russian Rabbin. Except for you, the Rabbin, we say quietly, I don't know why. But we say it as if it's a Yachid, even though we say Russian Rabbin. But we switch it to Russian Rabbin. So the other things, okay, Atashlechem Olay Vikna. Good, applies to everyone. Even Atashlechem Olay Vikna, applies to everyone. Who Ruach, Kachach, Atikach, Menu. So Moshe said that he was thinking about it, and he came to the conclusion that every year has Ruach HaKodesh. And the Kuda Ruach HaKodesh too. The problem is that we don't realize the potential that we can have with that. So the Melech sleeps, and it remains dormant inside of us. And it doesn't come out, into the Elam HaEmes. The bracha of Yisimcha Lakim Kefayim from the Nasha is a bracha, not just that Bayashan should look at Yidden this way, but that we should see ourselves this way, that we, the Pesach HaNefesh that a person has. A person has to realize this Pesach HaNefesh. It's an incredible thing that we have here of people, especially people who learn from Eretz Yisrael, and they come back to America and they decide that they're over the hill, you know. 21 years old, they're over the hill. It's a pretty bleak thing, but when you consider that, you know, the first couple of years they wore diapers, and the next couple of years they weren't doing anything very important, and then, by the time they come to a point where they feel their best years are behind them, and, from now it's all downhill. It's kind of a sad thing to think about that way. You know, like you're over the hill, you know, you had your good years, and now you go to college. In Eretz Yisrael, your yeshiva, as Yimashkif told you, as soon as you go to college, it's all over. And in Leila, you're convinced. You want to listen to your yeshiva. So you know, when you go to college, it's all over. It's all the more that a person has to appreciate the value in his potential. His potential in learning, his potential in growing. There's potential at times, the Rebbeinu Shalom looks at it. The Rebbeinu Shalom looks at you with the potential you have to vaccinate. With the potential you have to make a difference. And people, for some reason, become very slappy, very dormant. Their energies remain under the cover. And it just doesn't come out. People have energy, people have crisis. Should remain without crisis until what? Until come the time you have to go to work and you discover, you can get up with a bread in the morning. That's what the crisis idea is for. The crisis are here. People have the crisis. People have crisis. The person's life is far from over at the age of 21. The person thinks that by the age of 21 or 22 is done with the prime years of his life. So, you know, it would be better off to the first 21 years of your life to goof off and then to start. Because after all, you know, from 13 to 21 is just 8 years. 8 years is not a lot to show for this world, even if you started learning at Bar Mitzvah. A person has to realize that he has a kachas message. He has the potential to not only improve himself, but to improve the people around him. To improve the sphere that he's in, to make a difference. It's a shame that people don't feel that way. You know, it's something I think this is in the Kuda where I always wonder, and I think I mentioned it here a number of times, but I've thought of it earlier, that it puzzles me when I walk to shul in the morning. And, you know, I go to shul, so you know, I step lively. First of all, I'm usually coming in at the last minute. And second of all, you know, I know I have to have a thousand filling on, and so here I am running to shul the last minute, and usually a couple of kids in tow. And I pass somebody walking down the street. I know he's not for the same union as me. He's not out with the same union. He's not doing the same thing I have to do. And here, like after a stroll. So I'm nothing against him. Like I just don't understand. You know, maybe his feet hurts or something. But why is it that, you know, he's just strolling in? Do you ever wonder about it? They still come to the yeshiva. You know, you see the guys in front of the yeshiva just dragging around with nothing to do. And you watch, you know, every once in a while a guy comes in, you know, he works like he's got something to do. Like shorty. Yeah. I said, what a brain, you know, he wants to do something, right? He has something to do. You see some guys, they come in like they're heading somewhere. They're going, some guys, you know, they prove they craft themselves around. It's one thing. It has to do with whether you see that you have kreches ha-nefesh. Do you see any kreches ha-nefesh that you have? It's dormant within the person. Hashem will have it right. That if a person would know it's kreches ha-nefesh, he'd be surprised. And he writes, says by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a king who followed in the line of the kings of the Bnei David, and followed a Russian. His father was a Russian. And his father allowed Avodah Zarah to be all over the Arei Yehuda. Chizkiyahu came, he destroyed the Avodah Zarah, he destroyed the Metzavos. And one of the things he did, which was controversial, was Kiteish Estachash HaNachashis. He ground the copper snake, which is in Parshas Kukas, which Moshe Rabbeinu had made, saved by Israel. So Kiteish Estachash HaNachashis. He ground it into dust, and he threw it away. So the people were very upset with him. What? He says, Afra came, and he didn't do it. Yeshua came, these were great people, great kings ahead of him. They came, they didn't grind, they didn't destroy it. They destroyed all the Avodah Zarah that Israel, they didn't destroy the Nechash and Nechashis. From where do you get to destroy the Nechash and Nechashis? So Chazal say that Sufki was Mechadish, Echidish, and Din. We have Adam Isa, Davashay, Neshavai, Ayide, Maisa, and they could add a price over Ayide, the Nechash and Nechashis, to make the Avodah Zarah. But maybe he destroyed it. He said, you were arguing with everybody else. So Sufki all answered. He said, Maka in Hinichu li Avaisai v'Zadavai. That Asa, Yeshua, David, Shlomo HaMelech, none of them destroyed it. Why weren't they ended on this day? Maki minichu li avaytei v'gadavai. Means that in Shemayim, they left a chiddush in Torah that I should say. David didn't say, Shlomo didn't say, Asa didn't say, Yeshua didn't say, all the great kings didn't say, because in the Shemayim they left me a chiddush that I should say. Well, it's right. It's a poetic thing. With Min HaShemayim, they withheld this Kiddush in Torah. And people, it was a mikshol to Yidden, were bowed down to the Nechash and Nechashis. For what reason? Because it's very important that in the later generation, when Chizkiyahu comes, he could say a Kiddush in Torah. Which no one said before him. Mokim ni nichu li avaytei v'zgad olam. That to me, that there's something in Torah that everyone can say. That means that every person has a mokim sheheni chuli v'zgad olam. That's the midah of the kleches and nefesh of a person. So people who don't know what learning is don't understand. We understand, we learn Rabbi Kivega, and we learn a Taisvis, and we think we have a Taisvis and Taisvis Kasha. So what right do we have? Taisvis knew so much more than us. Rabbi Nina Machadish. Because I'll say, now I'm not going to pass like you against Taisvis, but mocking it recently, I might say, let's go, that's right, isn't it? There's room for every person to have to learn in Torah. That potential of tithe that a person has is unique to the person. And every yid has a mocking with God over. He has a place where he himself could box. People dream of making a difference. Everybody wants to make a difference. A person in his life wants to make some type of difference. If not a difference in the world, at least a difference in his sphere. Now, the difference in his sphere, at least the difference in his family. Everyone wants to count for something. No one wants to be a nobody. And yet, when it comes to looking, people feel like they're a nobody. It's a terrible thing to feel like a nobody. A person who treats himself like a nobody is going to be a nobody. And a person who convinces himself that he's a somebody is going to be a somebody. He'll be able to do things. That doesn't mean that you have to go and climb the biggest mountain. You have to climb the biggest challenge that you ever had, and you have to change the world.
It means that you have to make yourself a somebody. Ruach kachacha, tikach mimeni. That ruach kachacha, yeah, you have to nurture within you. That's the bracha that we give every year. Yisimcha v'kim kefayim l'chol menashe. That every person should see within him kefayim l'chol menashe, the bracha kefayim l'chol menashe, the potential that he has for the future. The potential that everything a person does makes a roshim on his neshama. Makes a difference for the person. Mr. Eliyahu has a famous insight that every human being has nekudas habechira. What's a nekudas habechira? It means, the way that Mr. Eliyahu explains, you have to picture a radio dial. You have a dial on the radio, you turn the dial, like the new ones I did, you don't have a dial, but you know what I'm talking about. You have a dial, you turn it, the numbers go up and down. That's the phone. There are 49 dragons, 1 to 49. So every year, it doesn't have all 49 Adragas in the Stragas. You, if you picture on the blackboard a 1 to 49, there's a band, which is your Nekudas HaBechira. There are things below it and things above it. I would hope that for everybody here, walking past the McDonald's on Coney Island Avenue, it's not a mistake. It's not in the band of your Nekudas HaBechira. It's an Avera. Go in and eat a cheeseburger. But on this band, it's below where your line is, on this 1 to 49, it's under your Nekudas HaBechira. That line is your Nekuda. It's your line of Bechira. Below it are the things that are not in the sight of you. Above it are things that are also not in the sight of you because they're too high to you. Nobody here is going to have the Hasmada of the stifler. Nobody, I don't think anybody is going to have Hasmada of the stifler. It's on the 1 to 49, but it's above you on the Kudas HaBechira. So that you have a certain line, a certain width, a certain thickness, a certain spread of what's your Bechira. And that band of Bechira is on the Kudas HaBechira. You can spin the dials on the Kudas HaBechira. And you do. You do it all the time. You change in the Kudas HaBechira. You move it up, you move it down. Because people are always changing. People are always changing. That's a Messiah for a person one time. A person works on things and then it's also a Messiah. He moves the Nekudas HaBechira upward. Sometimes I think that I'm not a Messiah. It's not for like a heifer, and suddenly it becomes a big Messiah. His job is to move the Nekudas HaBechira, to nudge it upwards. To nudge it in an upward direction. Slowly. To turn it upwards. Like a kid when you're trying to catch the ball game, you know, you move it very slowly, huh? So that's what you gotta do. You gotta move the Kudas HaBechira very slowly, but you have to be moving it upwards. The only way to move it upwards is to see your potential for Ruach HaKodesh, your potential to be something more. In practical ways, what you have to do is look around the Beis Medrash and find people who are learning, who are davening, who are involved in things better than you, who have raised by the Kudas HaBechira. And you have to see in yourself the potential to push it upwards, to push it in an upwards level. Yeah, that's what it means to have a role model. Role model doesn't mean the Kabbalah art. It means the friend who somehow is doing things a little better than you. And you have to nudge that upwards. That's the advice of a person's life, to push things upwards. And to see that potential attained, which is the Yisim Chavakim, which is the Bracha of Yaakov Avinu. Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim because Klal Yisrael believed that they could be the Kavei Atzeres. Yes, Stevis and Chazal say they were the 49th Madrega of Tumah, and yet Chazal say that they were Maminu, B'nei Maminu, B'yaminu. Lamaisa, they were in a pretty bad way. But they believed that they could be more. When a person believes he could be more, it's possible to jump, it's possible to move up, it's possible to nudge it up. But the first thing you have to do is to believe in your own Ruach HaKodesh, to believe in your own Kesef HaNefesh, to believe that it's possible to keep on growing. And that's the Bracha of Yisrael HaKim Kaflaim Chum Menashe. This is the Chassidish of us. Lucas Abayson, which I think is a very tire of art, and I hope we can internalize this bracha, the Sefer HaKim Kefayim HaLuchim Menashe, it would have halos for a very, very long time. I've got your Shabbos.